the final hours in the bizarre tale of Argentina and American hedge funds.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison, in from David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Argentina is on the brink of default as Marathon talks with U.S. hedge funds that own its bonds have failed to reach agreement. If there's not a deal soon, an already complicated situation gets even trickier. BBC Economics correspondent Andrew Walker joins us to explain how we got here and where this might go. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Mark.
So I want to try and set out a couple of ground rules because the topic is Argentina, just so we avoid some of the cliches. So I want to say that we're not allowed to say tango or make any reference to the lyrics for okay. Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. That's good?
Okay, I'll comply with that.
Okay.
I've used those cliches many times myself out of desperation over all the years that this story's been running.
It's been going for so long, yeah. And so for those who haven't followed this, I mean, a lot of people are tuning into this a little bit more as it's heated up and gotten more attention. Those people that are just kind of tuning in, they tend to be pretty surprised that there's a situation where private investors, not just governments and courts, are at the center of the question of whether a country will default. As, you know, simply as you can, explain just how we got here.
Well, you could go back a very long time, but let's start at the end of 2001, which was when Argentina defaulted on its government debt. It then went into a long period of negotiations where it made offers to the bondholders, and there were a couple of exchanges, which basically meant that the creditors who accepted the offer took a very, very deep loss, something like 70% of the value of their investment. However, there were some who didn't accept the offer, and they are now suing, trying to get full repayment of what they feel they are still owed.
And these holdout creditors, these American hedge funds, if they are not able to make a deal with Argentina and Argentina defaults on its debt, what kind of impact would that have?
Well, it's worth mentioning that actually Argentina would also be defaulting on the debts that it owes to those who took part in the exchange. And it desperately wants not to have to do that. Argentina is in a position where it's trying to say, look, we've drawn a line under all the bad financial mismanagement of the past, and we do intend to honour the obligations that we have entered into. But because a New York court says if you pay the exchange bondholders, you've got to pay the holdouts as well, Argentina simply can't do that. And it really is a curious irony after Argentina's long history of repeated defaults that it wants not to, and it is trying not to default, but the legal system means that it could end up doing precisely what it doesn't want to do.
Okay, the BBC's Andrew Walker, thanks for explaining that and also for not saying tango.
My pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in global trading, not too much. In the UK, for example, almost a 0.1%, and the Germany's DAX down about that amount, and down 0.3% in France. Asian markets closed mostly higher. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P dropped 0.4% to close at 1969. The Dow lost 0.4%, ending at 16,912. Big urban hospitals that serve a lot of poor patients say they're seeing a sharp drop in the number of uninsured. For some hospitals, that means millions less in what doctors call charity care, basically treatment the patients aren't able to fully pay for. But this change brings with it some new challenges. From the health desk at WHYY, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
William Castro knows pain.
You're a grown man, and it's so bad. You have to take hot showers. You're crying at night.
In 2010, a car hit Castro as he was out with his daughter in Camden, New Jersey. The accident tore up his back. Without health insurance, Castro got charity care from Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital. Doctors treated him, scribbling out prescriptions every month. But Castro, who's now 46, had to scrape up the money for the meds.
And you're talking about $300 to $350 a month. And a person that's not able to work, can you imagine not having zero, needing this medication, and have to count on your family, loved ones, friends? Then next month you have to do it all over again.
earlier this year, Castro got Medicaid, which included his prescriptions. No copays. Castro is one of thousands of patients that Lourdes Hospital had treated for free. Hospital CEO Alexander Hatala has watched his uninsured patient population plummet here from 8.5% last year to 3% today. He expects to spend $3.5 million less.
$3.5 million can make a difference between breaking even or operating in the red.
What's happening in Camden is happening around the country, at least for safety net hospitals in states that expanded Medicaid under Obamacare. This summer, the Colorado Hospital Association, looking at stats from 30 states, found a 30% jump in Medicaid charges and a 30% drop in charity care costs. That puts hospitals on track to save billions this year. Ellen Kugler heads the National Association of Urban Hospitals.
There are some federal cuts that have already begun and many more that are coming.
Right now, the government funding covers about 65% of charity care costs. As people sign up for insurance, though, Washington plans to cut back on its share. Perhaps more pressing than those cuts, the Urban Institute's Teresa Coughlin says these hospitals will now have to fight to keep their newly insured patients.
Will they still continue to come to their facility, or will they go elsewhere now that they have a choice?
Coughlin says some of these hospitals are considered second or third tier facilities, and to keep their doors open must become savvier. They must build relationships with insurers and convince consumers they offer excellent service for a fair price. A whole new world, says Coughlin, a world where not all safety net hospitals may survive. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Tell us what you think about these stories and find many others at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.